Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 15th day of April 2024. And last week, some of you may remember that I had an interview with a independent fundamentalist Baptist who came to the Doctrines of Grace. His name is Tim Crockett, and he was our guest last week. I had a thoroughly enjoyable time interviewing Pastor Tim, who is the pastor of Bible Way Baptist Church of Worcester, Massachusetts. But today I have on the program a friend of his who has made a very similar journey, and he's also a mutual friend of a man who almost became my pastor a number of years ago, Pastor Josh Fryman, who at one time was pastoring in Riverhead, Long Island, where I was intending to move before I unexpectedly moved to Pennsylvania, and I was all set to have Pastor Josh be my pastor, but God had different plans, and Pastor Josh is also pastoring in North Dakota now. Today we have on the program Terry Basham, who is pastor of Faith Baptist Church of Sheboygan, Michigan. And today we're going to be addressing From Man's Free Will to God's Free Will, an independent fundamentalist Baptist transforming discovery of the doctrines of sovereign grace. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Terry Basham.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
And am I?
That's a great title.
I'm sorry, you broke up a little there, brother.
I said that's a great title, from man's free will to
God's free will.
I like it.
Amen. And tell us about this church that you pastor, Faith Baptist Church of Sheboygan, Michigan.
Yeah, I've been the pastor here at Faith Baptist Church for a couple years. It is technically an independent fundamental Baptist church still. It doesn't meet the normal standards of those terms, though. It's a GARBC church, and my fundy friends usually don't recognize these kind of churches as autonomous independent churches, but they are.
Yeah, and I've heard the slogan, the Grand Army of Rebelling Baptists.
That's funny. So this church is more like a Southern Baptist church, a traditional Baptist polity, pastor, deacons, except we have more contemporary style of music. It's not a Reformed church or Reformed Baptist. They subscribe to the New Hampshire Confession, and it's a church that's serious about the gospel and doctrines. We have tons of Bible studies going on all the time, just teaching through God's word. But the church is basically pretty chill on stuff that's not, you know, front burner issues. It's been a new kind of church for me. I came from a very strict ultra separated kind of churches.
Yes.
Then I moved into a different kind of churches, and I just just kind of following the doctrines, following the truth, you know, going where you're supposed to go. And I spent almost 10 years in Oklahoma pastoring a church that was a landmark Sovereign Grace Baptist Church.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And that is where I, in that fellowship of churches, I actually preached at Bible conferences with Primitive Baptist, Hardshell Baptist, Absolute Predestinarian Baptist, Anti-Free Offer Baptist. that was a very interesting period of my life.
When you were in the Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist Church, did you ever become acquainted with Jack Green in Texas?
I do know that name. Jack Green's in Thailand now.
Yes.
And he's been in Thailand. Yeah, and so Jimmy Nelson, who pastors his old church.
That's right. That's right.
I want to say that's Landmark Baptist Church. Is it Landmark? And
yes, I believe that's the name of it. And they also had a newsletter and a seminary.
Yep.
And
I've preached with Jimmy before.
Small world, because Jimmy wouldn't know me, but I am familiar with that ministry, and I used to listen to Jack Green's sermons. I always enjoyed his preaching. He was a very powerful preacher.
Yeah. You know, he has a little book he wrote. Well, I've only seen one copy of it. I never owned it. But it's called The Calvinism of J. Frank Norris.
Huh.
And he went through some of Norris's books and sermons. And he said, this is Calvinistic language. This is Calvinistic language. It kind of pulled it out to show that that's the side of the fence that Norris was on. But, you know, he may have been reading that into Norris. I'm not really certain. I'm not a Norris scholar. So.
Yep. And of course, as you are probably aware, there are Landmark Baptists that are vehement anti-Calvinists.
Yes, there are. Yeah.
Well,
yes, there
are. If anybody wants to find out more about Faith Baptist Church in Sheboygan, Michigan, you can go to their website, faithbaptistupnorth.org, faithbaptistupnorth.org, and God willing, we'll be repeating that website later on in the program. Well, we have a tradition here whenever we have a first-time guest on the program. That guest gives a summary of their salvation testimony. And that would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which you were raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord rose up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. And in this case, since we are talking about a theological journey that the Lord took you on, that radically transformed your thinking, basically, in one degree or another, our whole program today, our whole interview is going to be about your testimony. But if you could start with your upbringing, where you were raised, and what kind of family, and what kind of religious atmosphere, etc.
Sure, I was very blessed to be born into a Christian home. My father was ordained to the gospel ministry October of 1978, and I was born in April of 1978. So I've spent my entire life in the ministry against my free will. So I grew up in a traditional Baptist home, and my father was a Bible student, and he went to Bible college near Peoria, East Peoria, Illinois. A college is not there anymore. It's called Fellowship Baptist College. And then we moved, to my great chagrin, when I was 8 years old, we moved to Virginia from central Illinois. And my dad pastored there, a little country church. And when you grow up in church, I made all the childhood professions. I got baptized when I was 8 years old. And I don't really remember anything about the conversion experience. I remember getting baptized because, you know, getting held under the water by your dad. I can still remember it. And then we moved back to Illinois when I was a teenager. My dad pastored a church, And I was about to get in some big trouble, and you know, I kind of would act like I wasn't saved that way, you know, because Dad couldn't punish me just for being lost, right? So I worked the system a little bit. But when I was 15 years old, I was in church, and I really don't remember anything my father said that particular Sunday. But throughout the whole service, I had for the first time conviction of my sins.
Wow.
I really knew that I was unrighteous.
And how old were you and again?
I was 15.
Okay.
15 years old. I knew that I was unrighteous, and when you grew up in a certain tradition, you always have to wait till the end to get saved. So I waited till, you know, the sermon was over, and I went forward and got on the mourner's bench and prayed and confessed Christ as my Savior, and then you know, the Lord really saved me. I mean, He really flipped on the light in my dark heart, and I was a different person. About a year later, when I was 16 years old, and I got baptized that fall, incidentally.
Oh, so in other words, you got baptized again then?
Yeah, I got baptized again. Yeah, you know, I have heard of people not having childhood baptisms and then having a profession of faith and not being rebaptized. I've heard of that. My dad said, if you weren't saved the first time, it wasn't Christian baptism. It's just, you know, empty formality.
Actually, I agree with that, actually.
Yeah. So I went forward. Because now I was a believer, and I went forward and again on a Sunday morning and told my dad I wanted to get baptized as a believer. And usually a good Baptist will wait until you got a whole bunch of people to baptize, right? And so we waited several months till we had a pile of them, and the church my dad pastored did not have a baptistry. It was in a small building. So we borrowed a baptistry down the street from it was called a General Baptist Church, which I think those were Arminian Baptist churches. They were not GRBC. They're different, a little different breed. And they let us use their baptistry, and me and a couple other guys were baptized over there. And then about a year later, I was riding down the road in my truck, and I really felt like the Lord was calling me to preach. And I can remember where I was at on the street in the little town in Illinois. And I also remembered I did not want to do it because my dad was a pastor. It looked like a really stinky job, and I wanted nothing to do with it. And so in that old Southern tradition, I felt the call, and then I went running the other way, you know. And so I spent 3 years. I was 16 to, well, I guess that was, yeah, 16, almost 3 years, trying to get away from the call to preach. I tried to do a lot of sinning, see if I could get rid of it that way, you know, and nothing worked. And then finally, when I was 18 years old, I surrendered. I just told God, I said, Lord, I'll just, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And I surrendered my life to preach. That's how we did it. There's different thinking about the call to ministry, you know, but the tradition I grew up in was if you had the call, that's when you became a preacher, you know? And so I surrendered to preach my first sermon a week or so later, and then off to Bible college, and I've been at it ever since.
Praise God. And you mentioned earlier, as far as the Baptist church of your upbringing, that it was a traditional Baptist church. If you could be more specific, I think that you also, I know that, and I believe you said you're currently in a GRB congregation, but was your dad also GARB?
No, my dad, that's interesting. I was thinking about the different kinds of Baptist churches I've been a part of. My dad was saved at a church in Illinois that was pastored by a guy from Greenville, South Carolina. Well, he went to Harold Seitler's school in Greenville, South Carolina. So it had a definite camp meeting revivalistic atmosphere. And so the kind of church I grew up in was just a pastor, deacons, when I say regular Baptist, just normal Baptist polity, nothing special, congregational government, that kind of thing. And I'm not sure if I'm saying that the right way.
It sounds like an adequate description to me.
This is the normal stuff.
And where was your dad on the doctrines of sovereign grace?
You know, at one point my dad probably would have said he was a Calvinist.
Huh.
But he doesn't say that anymore, because he wouldn't say that anymore because there's a definite stigma that goes along with it. Of course, when my brain became able to think about things, my dad had already been in the ministry, 20 years, and he'd already thought through a lot of stuff. My dad was a prolific reader. He really was a big fan of the Civil War and Stonewall Jackson. I mean, I've been to Stonewall Jackson's home tons of times in Lexington, Virginia, and a lot of those places. And those guys were Presbyterian.
I was there too, by the way.
Yeah. And so because those guys were Presbyterians, my dad's was a Baptist, he still had respect for their right. soteriology. And so when I was growing up, there was a lot of emphasis on the conviction of sin. Mm-hmm. So my dad really wasn't a hyper soul winner or we call them quick prayer artists, 1, 2, 3 kind of stuff.
Like Jack.
My dad was more. Yeah, yeah. But I married a girl who both of her siblings graduated from Jack Hiles' college up there. So I got into the Jack Hiles kind of fundamentalism when I went to college. Because when I left home, I thought, I'm gonna go to Bible college. It was a school that was ran by one of my dad's friends who actually introduced my parents to each other from Illinois. But he had moved to Arkansas and started and was pastoring a church and started a college. And he was a Hiles-ish kind of person. And so I went to a school that was Jack Hiles on every level. I mean, just basically a knockoff of it in many ways. So so I really left a very kind of healthy kind of Bible teaching environment to go to a place that wasn't that great. And, of course, I didn't know beans from buttermilk, to be honest with you. And I went to school down there, learned it was not a very theological school. I learned how to work a Sunday school bus and do junior church. And one thing I got to give it up to the fundies is they were always very motivated to get the gospel to people. Mm-hmm. I mean, they always were always knocking doors. That was passing out tracts, preaching on the street. That's one of the things that I still admire about that group is their evangelistic zeal. And sometimes they focus too much on results and numbers. But I don't know. It's just you can go to extremes, right? And the tendency of man is to overcorrect.
So, yeah, and there could also be, and I'm pleased, I hope that nobody misunderstands me to hear that I am broad brushing or something and accusing all independent fundamentalist Baptists of what I'm about to say. This can be true with anybody. There can be a pride element where you are bragging, even if you would never in a million years admit to that or even view it that way, where you're bragging about how many souls you've won to Christ.
And
that can be a part of the motivation to put notches on your belt. And when that becomes a part of your motivation, you very often will accept or adopt a Jack Hiles form of evangelism where you are telling people that they are without question, they are saved. They are born again simply because they favorably respond to how you coach them with a sinner's prayer or something to that effect.
Yeah. My dad, I'm sorry.
No, I'm finished.
My dad's pastor, he taught that assurance always came later, and he said it's not always immediate. And so you would make a profession of faith, and if it was a genuine conversion, you'd almost have almost a work of grace where you really came to know in a deep way, I belong to Christ. I've been born again. I've been made new. And that was something that like my grandmother, she said she grew up in the Pentecostal Holiness Church, and they were never sure that they were saved.
Right.
And so when she started going to the Baptist church and she was born again, it took her 2 years before she really had assurance of her salvation, because she still had that old thinking she had to get out of there.
Yep.
And that kind of experiential religion was my core, my foundation, a real hearty, authentic spiritual life. When I got into college, with the Hiles kind of stuff, it was less deep. It was definitely more shallow. And then after I finished college, I got married while I was in college. The best thing about going to college was I met my wife, and we were 19 when we got married. We've been married for 26 years. We've had 5 children. And, you know, she was the best part about that. And I accidentally married a wonderful Christian girl. I didn't really understand.
Well, it might have been an accident on your part, but it wasn't on God's.
That's right. It's tons of times. Lloyd Sprinkle. I don't know if you ever run across him or not.
Oh yeah, I have spoken with him. I know he's with the Lord now, but I used to purchase books from him, and he also used to donate books every year to my free pastor's luncheons, because I give away free books at my pastor's luncheons.
And that's something.
And Lloyd used to provide 100 copies every year of a title that I selected from him. And nice. Then even after he went home to be with the Lord, his family continued that tradition for at least a few more years.
Yeah, that's great. I had the privilege of, I preached with him at a Bible conference in Oklahoma. We preached in the same meeting. And
ironic that he was a Baptist with the name Sprinkle.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? Sprinkle Publications. The Baptist. That's great. Wait, I was just going to say, he said, he told me in talking about this kind of stuff at that conference was that, we don't make providence your Bible, make it your bed. We rest
Amen.
In the providence of God. And
that's a great saying.
Yeah, I got it written in front of one of my Bibles, the Bible I had that week, Schofield Bible, incidentally.
Now it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that when you went to Bible college, that kind of temporarily derailed a sounder Baptist theology that led you into, as you were comparing it to more of a Jack Hiles understanding and methodology, which is a breeding ground for false converts. It seemed that college experience derailed you in that direction for a while.
Yep, and of course we have to chalk that up also to the providence of God and that kind of thing. So that was I got out of school. I was ordained. I went out into the ministry. And then I worked in those kind of churches as an assistant pastor and youth pastor. And then I moved to the Midwest and to work for a pastor who was going to retire when I got there. That's what he told me. But once I got there, I quit my job at UPS to move up there to be the assistant, then he was going to retire and I was going to become the head pastor. And when I got there, he told me, you know what, Terry, I changed my mind. And so I was very angry about it. He said, just stay here and be my assistant pastor. And I said, I can't stay here and be your assistant pastor because I don't like you anymore because you're a no good liar. And so I went to a really large independent fundamental church that had a pastor there who was he is a Hiles graduate. He'd also gone to Fairhaven Baptist College. And there was a steady stream of people from those colleges going to and from those colleges in that at that church. And while I was there, I wanted to pastor. I was tired of being an assistant. I got in connection with a guy named James Beller. And James Beller pastored a church in St. Louis, Missouri. He wrote a book about St. Louis called The Soul of St. Louis, about the revivals that had taken place there in the 19th century, early part of the 20th century. And he also wrote a book called America in Crimson Red, which is a history of the Baptist movement in America, beginning with John Clark. And it's kind of the dissenter's history of early American Christianity, because there was no religious freedom in America until we had the Bill of Rights, and right. Except in Rhode Island,
right.
And Pennsylvania. Well, Beller, he wrote a book about this, and I wanted to pastor a church, and he called them little baby churches. He said, I got this little baby church going over here in South St. Louis. And he said, why don't you come over here and be the pastor of it? And so I ended up not going and doing that, but he gave me a copy of his book, Crimson Red, which I read on my lunch hour at work. And in that book, it's not really kind to Calvinism, but what it does is it shows that Calvinism is a part of the Baptist identity.
Yes.
And he was back to the Philadelphia Confession, John Ganot,
yeah.
Shewell Stearns, Obadiah Holmes, Isaac Backus.
By the way, I have been in the church where John Ganot, or Gano, however you pronounce it, once pastored in Manhattan.
Really?
Yes. I ran an event there with my friend Tony Costa, Dr. Tony Costa, who's the professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. And he came out to New York
Does that T.T. Shields?
Yes. He was involved in founding the seminary. By the way, I just want to recommend to you my favorite biography of all, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohn. He was a successor of John Ganot.
Really?
At the First Baptist Church of New York City in Manhattan.
Yeah, I think I.M. Haldeman pastored that church later also.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. You can finish your sentence, but we have to go to our first break. What were you saying?
Well, I was just going to say Haldeman was a big-time dispensationalist in the early part of the 20th century.
Right.
And of course, my dad's been there.
Huh. Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Terry Basham, and by the way, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah, just like Basham in the nose.
Oh, so I was right. Okay. If you have, that's a great analogy for a fight and fundamentalist to use. But if anybody has a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island. Doug McMaster's here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I urge you, if you are intending to buy a piece of jewelry for yourself or someone you love, and keep in mind, Mother's Day is right around the corner and Father's Day not long after that, and I'm sure many wedding anniversaries, and I'm sure many of you men out there are going to pop the question to that special lady, and you'll need an engagement ring. Well, whatever the reason or occasion, if you have any intention to buy jewelry, please go to royaldiadem.com today to start the ball rolling, at least, on your purchase, because we have no idea when royaldiadem.com is going to pull the plug on this offer to us where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to one of our listeners. So please go to royaldiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we are now back with Pastor Terry Basham, and we're talking about his journey as an independent fundamentalist Baptist into the doctrines of sovereign grace. If you have a question, please submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And Pastor Terry, I don't know if there was anything further that you wanted to add on that thread or that train of thought that you were on. So we could pick up where you left off if you'd like.
Okay, that's fine. I do want to make one one statement is, me and my dad, we have the exact same name, Terry Basham, and it's caused him some controversy in the past. So I just want to just say that I'm Terry Basham the second. Terry Basham the first is not responsible for anything I say. And well, you know, after I read Jim Beller's book about Crimson Red, in the back of it, he talks about the separate Baptists and stuff. And that I was shocked that Calvinists were good people, because that they had done anything good, to be honest with you. I was just shocked. And my knowledge of church history was very narrow because I grew up in the Fundy world, and especially in college. At college, they recommended we not read anybody who was not on our side of the fence. So but,
I'll bet you, though, they thought a lot of people were on their side of the fence that weren't.
they did.
Spurgeon, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll give you a great example. Is at the really large church I went to in the Midwest, in their bookstore, I bought a book by R.A. Torrey. It's called How to Work for Christ, A Compendium of Effective Methods. And basically, it's just about, you know, street preaching, personal work, all kinds of stuff. I'm reading the back of it, and he has tips for personal workers. And over again in the back, he was saying, if available, the revised version is preferred here. And I was King James only, man. I mean, I was so, when I was on staff, I was on staff in college at the church where we went. They sent me to a bus conference where I heard Gail Ripplinger give a talk where she and Wally Beebe, Dr. Wally Beebe, Mr. Buss, where both of them said that if you were not led to Christ from a King James Bible, you were toast. You were not going to be saved. And so I thought, well, you know, so that's what they said. You know, these are the people. So they must be right, you know, a pure word, that kind of stuff. So I was blown away in my big King James only church to find this book that said the revised version is to be preferred. And R.A. Torrey, he had very high stature in that branch of churches. So I asked the pastor at the church about it one time. I said, you know, why do you, Torrey is saying the revised version can get him into the kingdom of heaven. Is that true? And he said, well, yeah, because the revised version is mostly the same as the King James. So as long as you got enough King James stuff. So, you know, I was dumb. I just went along with what the powers that be were saying. But I left that church to go down to Texas to be a pastor of a small church and just outside Austin, Texas. And I was so thrilled to be a pastor. And now I had to teach the Bible, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I had to put out a lot of material. So it was there that I started reading more broadly. And I was doing a series on Wednesday nights about, I took a survey of other churches in the area, and I started calling churches and just getting from the horse's mouth what that church believed, you know. And I called this little church called Burnet Bible Church, Burnet, Texas. As far as I know, it's still there. I talked to a guy named Steve Hopkins, and I said, Steve, I would like to talk to you about, you know, what your church believes. And he said, I don't have time to talk to you right now, so I'm kind of busy. He said, let's meet at McDonald's. I said, okay. And he said, but I'm going to tell you right off the bat. He said, I'm a Calvinist. He said, five-pointer, the whole nine yards. And I thought, wow, I'm going to get to – these people really exist. I'm going to get to talk to one. So I met him at McDonald's. And what I did was I went online and I downloaded – you know, a bunch of documents that would prove him wrong, you know, a bunch of gotcha verses and argumentation. So we got to McDonald's, and I showed up with a file folder full of papers. He showed up with a Bible, and he said, we started talking, and I just recoiled at everything he said about the doctrines of grace. And I said, look, man, it's up to us to get people saved. And he looked at me. It was lunchtime, small town in Texas. That McDonald's was packed out. And he said, okay. He said, if it's up to you, how can you sit here with all these souls that are perishing and not get up and preach the gospel? Go ahead. And I said, well, they're eating, man. He's like, it doesn't matter. These people are going to hell, and you got to, if you don't do something, they're gone, man. And he said, and then how can you sleep tonight? And how can you go fishing? He just went down the list. He just ripped me up one side and down the other. And I began to realize, well, there's no way I could do all that. There's no way. And he said, you got to trust God, man. He said, God's going to get his people saved. And I listened. And so we left. And then I went back to my office. And I ordered a King James Bible that had no notes in it of any kind, just a plain text Bible. And I worked my way through Romans and through Ephesians and Galatians. And by the time I was done, I thought, you know what? Election is something that's in the Bible. Looks like this Calvinism stuff is probably true. And then I also got a hold of a 1689 London Confession. And the proof text for that kind of sold me on it, you know, like I could see it right there in scripture. And so I had a very scary thing I had to do. I had to tell my wife that I'd become a Calvinist, because my wife, her brother and sister both graduated from Hiles of school. I think in our bedroom, I'm not sure if we still have it or not, but we have a picture of my wife with Jack Hiles when she was a little girl.
Huh.
You know, this was no light matter. And my wife was a personal worker, bus worker, you know, a personal evangelist. Her father went to pastor school every year. Her brother did too. I mean, and so I had to go home and tell her, dear, I think Calvinism is true. And I remember we were laying in bed, and I was laying there thinking about it. I got to tell her. And so I said, Valerie, I think Calvinism is true. And just silence over there. And she said, what? You know, and so round and round we went arguing about it. And that's where I learned to be an apologist, was right there.
Huh.
Was convincing my wife that the Bible actually taught these things. And to be honest with you, Chris, once I convinced her that it was biblical, once I showed it to her from the Bible, I've never met anybody who was as hard to convince as she was. Because it wasn't just tradition for her. And she'd read the Bible through every year since she was 11 years old. I mean, she knew the scriptures well. But once you took off those, I don't know if you want to call them Armenian glasses or free will glasses or big man glasses, once she saw big God in the Bible, it changed it, you know, she said, I agree. So at the time she wrote a series of blog posts about it and put it on her blog. I think they're still out there, but the blog title was entitled What to Do When Your Husband Becomes a Heretic. Because initially she was convinced that we were going to have to get a divorce.
Wow.
Because she said, how could I be married to an apostate? How could I be married to you if somebody preached a false gospel? So I didn't realize that was what was in her mind, but she said, that was my very first thought, was wow, my marriage is over.
Wow. Now in your circles of fundamentalism, would that have been condoned? Because from what the fundamentalists that I know, the independent fundamentalist Baptist that I know, do not mm-hmm. believe in divorce for any reason.
Mm-hmm. They would have given her a pass.
Ah, really?
It would be a big deal. Now, the group that we were in was not as hardcore against divorce and remarriage as other groups are. There's quite a diversity on that position.
Because even the now deceased pastor in Pensacola, Florida, whose name escapes me.
Pete Ruckman.
Yeah, he was married and divorced several times, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I think he was married three times. His last marriage endured. You know, it would just depend on your particular church that you went to, but they would have all felt really sorry for her, you know, and it wouldn't have been a problem. People would have understood because, you know, this was just not something that you could tolerate. But, you know, she loved me and she loved God's word. And so we just, luckily, the church I pastored, they used the New Hampshire Confession of Faith at the church. I didn't have to resign my church. And to be honest with you, I really drug my feet with making a lot of public changes about anything. Because in the main, all I really changed was how I thought salvation worked, right? Mm-hmm, right. I was still preaching justification by faith, but salvation works because of this of the doctrines of grace, of that theological position.
Yes.
So I wasn't confessing anything openly different. It was just how you get a person from unbelief to belief. At that process was now spirit oriented, God oriented, and not man oriented. So, and then I found myself, once I discovered the doctrines of grace, I thought, what else they've been lying to me about, you know? So then was eschatology, Bible translations. It was, I found myself almost going too far the other direction. And so, you know, by the grace of God, I didn't get myself in trouble with my mouth. I thought about what I was thinking and reading more slowly. So then I left Texas and went to Arkansas to pastor a church for 5 years. And at that church, I had a member of the church who was, when I first met him, he handed me his business card. And it said his name on it. And it said Senator Dort, 1689, and a bunch of other stuff. There was all Calvinistic stuff, Belgic Confession. And I looked at him and I said, do many people know what these things mean on your card? And he grinned and said, not too many. And he had an MDiv from a seminary in Arkansas, and he was a Calvinist. He was a Reformed Baptist. And the only reason he was going to the church that I was pastoring was because his circumstances had changed and he could no longer afford to drive to Texarkana, Texas, to attend Texarkana Reformed Baptist Church, which is still going. I just talked to the pastor there a couple weeks ago.
In fact, could you pick up where you left off with this, brother? Because we have to go to our midway break right now.
Sure.
And please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully contact our advertisers. Keep in mind, we cannot exist without the financial support of our advertisers, so please contact them as often as possible. And send in your questions to Terry Basham about his journey into the doctrines of grace to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And allow me to highlight some books from solid-ground-books.com that I think are a nice accompaniment to our discussion today. We have An Introduction to the Baptists by Errol Holes. We have Yours Till Heaven, The Untold Love Story of Charles and Susie Spurgeon by Ray Rhodes, Jr. And there are quite a number of other books in a Baptist vein, although I hope that not only Baptists will purchase and read these books. I hope all of our brothers in Christ will get a hold of them. Annals of the American Baptist Pulpit by William Sprague, or edited by William Sprague. And the Madison Avenue Lectures, Historic Baptist Principles and Practice Defined and Defended by Henry Weston and others. Expository discourses on the book of Genesis, interspersed with practical reflections by Andrew Fuller. And there are many other books, not only by and about Baptists, but on a whole wide range of theologically reformed Christians, not only from history, but even in our present day, including from the Anglican backgrounds, Congregationalist backgrounds, Presbyterian backgrounds, and going all the way back to the 16th century and extending forward all the way to our modern day, including such modern authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com today, purchase generously, and mention Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Pastor Terry Basham and our discussion on his journey into the doctrines of sovereign grace, I have some important announcements to make. If you really love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card, and if you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical mailing address the old-fashioned way at your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you want to advertise is compatible with what I believe, like your church, parachurch ministry, your business, private practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, please remember, I never want anybody in my audience giving your own church where you are a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Please don't do that. And if you're really struggling to survive financially, wait until you're back on your feet and more stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still his money. We're primarily to use it to provide for our church and our family. And providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Faith Baptist Church in Sheboygan, Michigan, well, I have extensive lists of solid churches all over the world, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too, if you're without a church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Terry Basham about his journey into the doctrines of sovereign grace. chrisarnson@gmail.com gives you first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. And before the break, Pastor Terry, you were talking about a member of your church who was a Reformed Baptist who was there providentially because the confessionally Reformed Baptist church was too far away, and he, out of convenience, joined the church where you are.
Yep, that's exactly right. And he was both a great church member and a bad church member at the same time. If you can believe that. he had an MDiv, and he was very learned. He had a great library. He had been a pastor for a while, but had gotten disenchanted with pastoral ministry, and so he had a kind of what do you call it when you're hardened? He was a little bit skeptical about some stuff.
Okay,
a little bit of a cynic. That's the word I'm looking for. And but nonetheless, he heard what I was trying to say in my sermons, because I preached through Ephesians when I was first went to that church, and I'll go to his house and he played guitar. I play a little guitar. We play guitar together. And then he would loan me books from his library. And the first time I read a book that was on the revelation that wasn't from a dispensational perspective was he gave me George Eldon Ladd's little commentary on Revelation.
Oh yeah. Postmillennialist, right?
And another book called Ladd is post-trib pre-mill.
Okay.
Historic premill kind of position.
Right.
Anyway, that guy, he helped refine. I would say he helped me understand my doctrine better. And he encouraged me to read. And I don't know why he recommended this to me, but he said, "Why don't you get a copy of Charles Hodge and grind through it?" And so that was good advice, but also Hodge was really hard to read. It's very difficult to read. And because I didn't have classical education, I'd been to Bible college, but I had very little theological foundation. So it was a little bit of a learning curve for me. But it was really helpful to me. Eventually, that guy, I recommended that this man resign his membership in our church because he was Reformed to the second or third power. It really irked him that we didn't have elders, that we didn't follow the regulative principle and all that kind of stuff. And so finally I said, why don't you just resign your membership? And when he resigned his membership, he never missed a Sunday after that. it was so funny. But while I was there at that church, the internet played a role here as well, because there was this fairly new, this is 2000, I went to that church in Arkansas, 2008, a fairly new website called sermonaudio.com, which somebody sent me a link to a Paris Reedhead sermon called 10 Shekels and a Shirt. And that sermon really changed my whole perspective of man, because Reedhead went as a missionary to Africa And he said when he got there, he found out that those the native people, they were just as wicked as the Americans were, and they didn't want God any more than anybody else did. They were scammers and liars, just like the people were in the United States. So that really affected me deeply. I started listening to Ian Paisley, the Free Presbyterian.
Oh yeah,
and for a time, I really considered becoming a Free Presbyterian because I couldn't find Calvinists who were evangelistic. Sad to say. And what I mean by evangelistic, who were aggressively evangelistic, I didn't find any Calvinistic soul winners who were out there knocking on doors trying to get the gospel to people. And the Free Presbyterian seemed to represent that kind of evangelistic fervor. But ultimately, I really couldn't figure out what they believed on infant baptism. It looked like they didn't really take a hard position either way.
Yeah, they actually permit both. In fact, most of their pastors have a Baptistic understanding of baptism.
Yeah, I know a couple guys, and I think that what you just said is accurate. But although I love Reformed theology, I never could embrace infant baptism. I just felt like that was it's not in the Bible. If there was one verse that said they baptized the child, I'd swap over in a heartbeat. But I just, you know, that was a hill too far for me. I just didn't see it in Scripture. If I could see it, I would believe it. But I pastored that church in Arkansas, and then I decided one day, I'm sick of pastoring a church that does not believe in the doctrines of grace. So through a sequence of events, I wound up in Oklahoma pastoring a church that was a landmark Sovereign Grace church. The pastor, who had been there for a long time, 43 years, was a Calvinist. He didn't like the term Calvinist because of the stigma that went with it. He called himself a non-dispensational pre-tribulationist, which I always. He wrote a book about it, and he wrote a lot of books. He wrote four books. He wrote a lot of tracts and study guides. But at that church, in the landmark group, I thought when I went into Calvinistic churches, there would be just real unity in doctrine. But once I got over in with the Calvinistic churches, there was tons of other side issues over there.
Oh yeah.
One of the main issues was over the free offer of the gospel.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at my shelf right now. I have a friend of mine sent me this book. It's called Today's Gospel and Apostolic Exhortations by a guy named Randall's. And it's a high Calvinist book because they didn't believe in the free offer of the gospel. This Randall says, when you finish your sermon, go ahead and tell people, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, and see what happens. See if you get the response that Peter got at Pentecost. He said, you won't. He said that's because there was a different anointing of the Spirit in those days. And that in our era, we don't preach as indiscriminately as they do. So I wound up getting right in the middle of that high Calvinist, hyper Calvinist. High Calvinists don't like to be called hyper Calvinists, right?
Right.
Because, you know, so it's high Calvinists. And I have friends who I love who are high Calvinists. And but they seem to focus too much on Calvinism itself and not on the gospel. One of my friends told me, he said, you cannot say to people when you're preaching to believe on Lord Jesus Christ and they'll be saved because you don't know if they can be saved. I said, well, I think I can say whatever the Bible says. I'm just quoting the scripture to them. I'm saying what Jesus would say or Paul would say. And he would say, yeah, but you're telling them something that's not true because a non-elect person will hear that and they'll want to believe, but they can't because they're not elect. And I said, well, I don't, it took me a while to really flesh that out and see what they were saying. Because along with that comes preparationism. You can only tell a person to believe on Christ if they have, the particular Baptist of England, they say, if a person possesses the root of the matter, if they have that little spring of life, then you can say to them, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved.
I think that would have been more specifically the strict Baptists, because even Spurgeon, who was not a hyper-Calvinist, would have called himself a particular Baptist.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, you're right. Because usually that nomenclature goes together, strict and particular.
Right. Strict Baptists are particular Baptists, but not all particular Baptists are strict Baptists.
Right. See, it's such a fun game sometimes, all the words. So I preached when I was in Oklahoma. I was introduced to a whole new circle of the Baptist world. And there were some Reformed Baptists there, but most of them were not Reformed. They didn't believe in a Reformed type of church polity. But there was always a lot of dissension in there. They always kept trying to make the box smaller and smaller and smaller. And I invited a guy to come preach for me one time. I had a Bible conference at my church, and I invited a guy to come and preach for me from Tulsa, a very learned and gifted preacher. And he said, who else is preaching? And I told him I was inviting another guy from Oklahoma City to come, who is also learned and a gifted preacher. And he said, well, I will preach with him. Huh. I said, well, why not? He said, because he doesn't believe in the free offer. And I don't want anybody to think that I think that. And I said, well, I don't think anybody's going to think that, because – you know, it's just going to be a bunch of Calvinists down there. And he said, I'm not going to do it. And so then there was an internal, in that fellowship of about 20 churches, an internal conflict over the eternal manhood of Christ. Some of those guys got to believing that Jesus Christ had celestial flesh, which was an Anabaptist.
Really? I have never heard of that other than some kind of Mormon heresy. I've never heard of that amongst Baptists.
Yeah, if you ever get a copy of The Martyr's Mirror, have you ever seen that book?
No.
It's a record of the persecution of Anabaptists on the European continent. It's published today by the Mennonites. One of their publishing houses prints it, and so some people call it the Baptist Fox's Book of Martyrs, because it's all people who believed in believers' baptism. But part of their over, this is what I mean by it, people tend to overcorrect, is, I have the pages marked in the front. I could read you some excerpts from, but that's probably not the thing to do. These people were being put to death by the Catholic Church, and they were so against Mariolatry that they wouldn't even confess that Jesus received anything from Mary, not his humanity, nothing.
What?
Because they were overcorrecting against it. Yeah, it's a kooky little doctrine, and I'd never heard of it until these guys had a fight about it. And then I was sitting in a private house, me and a pastor from Northern Ireland, who was actually, he went to Toronto Seminary. He's a graduate of that school. And we were sitting there with seven other pastors, and they were debating this very topic. And I'm just sitting there being quiet, because I can all those guys were on that side of the fence. And me and my Irish friend, we're just sitting there listening. And when we left, we were riding together. He said, I disagree with them 100%. I said, me too. But we were both preaching at their conference. And so we didn't feel like it wasn't, if we started a fight, we'd probably lose our preaching spots. That's the integrity that we had, men of character. So I really had to work out my views of sovereign grace in those days, because I was hearing new things and making it more complex than necessary, I felt like. And so I started reading Josh Fryman, he says that I love John Gill too much because I really love John Gill.
Oh, and, I love John Gill too.
So I started reading Gill a lot. And then I had a really close friend who pastored in the UK, and he was a high Calvinist, just to the max. And he would call me all the time. He'd say, "Terry, you're a Fullerite." And I said, what does that mean? He said, "You're on Andrew Fuller's side of the fence." He said, you're a duty faith guy, free offer guy. He said, "You're a Fullerite. I'm a Gillite." And then I read Andrew Fuller's Gospel Worthy of All Acceptation, and I realized I am a Fullerite. I'm exactly on that side of the fence.
Just to let you know, Tom Nettles, who I'm sure you've heard of, Tom, who's one of the foremost Baptist historians alive, he defends Gill as not being a hyper-Calvinist.
I've heard him do that. I had a chance to he preached at a conference in Oklahoma at a Southern Baptist church, and I actually had a chance to talk to him about some of that stuff. And I've heard his defense. I'm not sure. Who am I to disagree with Tom Nettles, though, right?
but even men like Michael Haken, who believes that John Gill was a hyper-Calvinist, Michael Haken still loves John Gill and promotes him, even though Michael Haken is not a hyper-Calvinist.
Right, you're exactly right. But, you know, that's my opinion. I'm just a dude. I started saying I'm in Oklahoma, but I'm not in Oklahoma anymore. I'm just I love John Gill, and I love his consistency, but I also believe in the free offer of the gospel. And I think in the church I pastored in Oklahoma, I had people a couple people tell me in that church that they didn't really like the fact that I went around knocking on doors and talking to folks about the gospel, because they felt like, you know, God's going to get them saved anyway. I preached with Primitive Baptist, and a couple of them I really came to really love, but they were not evangelistic. And I really got a look at the side of Calvinism that does not evangelize. I know people who are anti-missionary.
Yes. And people should know, and I'm sure you would agree with this, even though that a sect within Sovereign Grace Believing Baptists had a lot to do with your personal experience. They are a tiny percentage amongst Sovereign Grace Believing Baptists nationwide and globally.
I agree. I agree with that. I think sometimes the overcorrection is what gets people, is because of the negative stigma of screen door evangelism, aka Heilsism.
Right.
People tend to overreact the other way, and like, I'm not going to knock on doors because that's what the bad people do. It's what Heils would do. So I mean,
that's like saying I'm not going to believe in the Trinity because Roman Catholics believe it. That's exactly what a lot of cults use in their rhetoric.
Exactly. The church I pastored in Oklahoma was an anti-Christmas church. And so you didn't celebrate Christmas there because of its connection to Catholicism. It's just people tend to overcorrect. And while I was in Oklahoma and in Arkansas, some people who really helped me, I hate to invoke his name because I'm just teasing about that, but I listened to James White a lot. On Sermon Audio when he was at PRBC.
Uh-huh.
And I listened to his The Dividing Line, and his he really helped me think better about theology,
uh-huh,
church history, and about the Bible. Maybe. Because the thing that really put me on the once I told people I was a Calvinist, once my circle of people started finding out about it. I used to get invited to preach at their conferences and at their churches, but all those invitations dried up because I was on the wrong side of the tracks. But the thing that really got me in a little bit of hot water, even with my family, was when I stopped being King James only. And you don't really realize how big of a deal that is until you say, hey, I don't believe the King James Bible is the only right Bible anymore.
Right.
The heat that comes with that, you know, is incredible. I mean, just, I could, there's one particular situation where it caused me intense pain because of the damage to a relationship over that. And it's just, but that's what happened. I mean,
and that's adding to the gospel just as much as a Roman Catholic adding works to the gospel, because you are requiring something for salvation that God does not require.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Exactly right. I talked to a pastor in Arkansas. He was a youth pastor at a church in Russellville, Arkansas, and he was a modalist. I mean, I even thought maybe he just is misunderstanding what he's saying, but he was completely a modalist. And so I contacted his pastor and said, hey, you know, your dude is a heretic. We need to talk to him.
This is a Baptist church.
Yeah, independent, fundamental, premillennial, temperamental, sin-hating, devil-fighting Baptist church.
Wow. I
mean, right down the line. And I contacted the pastor, and he said, brother, we use the King James Bible here. We're protected from error. So
now that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff.
And in fact, nearly every, if not every single American-born cult uses exclusively the King James Bible.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So Kenneth Copeland's final authority and their final authority are exactly the same, the King James Bible. And some of those doctrines can only be created from the King James Bible, which I always think is kind of fun to talk about with people. So I had a great time in Oklahoma, pastoring my church, and I was around a lot of interesting people, a lot of interesting Calvinistic people, and I really, what I learned was that I didn't really fit in with being Reformed. I said there's some stuff that goes along with the Reformed view of the local church I really didn't agree with. And I just couldn't go in with them. I didn't really agree with the Landmark perspectives because I didn't believe in the local church only.
Right.
They don't believe in the universal church. I didn't believe in Baptist Brightism. And then and I was evangelistic. I wanted to reach people with the gospel. And I just got tired of being in the independent fundamental world because everything was a big deal. And my wife never wore a pair of pants till she was 37 years old.
Wow.
I mean, I never went to a movie theater till I was 37 years old. Me and my wife are the same age as her. But everything, all these minors were a huge deal about everything.
Right.
So I just, I just started drifting away from that more and more and more.
Just out of curiosity, I don't want to sidetrack you too much, but what is it about a typical Reformed Baptist understanding of the local church did you disagree with? I'm just trying to figure that out because in my experience, and even according to the confession, the 1689 London Baptist Confession, well, the view of the local church seems to be in harmony with most independent fundamentalists. We believe in the autonomy of local congregations, and there is no hierarchy outside the local eldership other than Christ and his inerrant word.
I think it has more to do, it has more to do with the Reformed church polity than anything.
Oh, the plurality of elders?
Yeah, I don't really... The way church government seems to work in Reformed churches, I'm a congregationalist, and I agree with Adrian Rogers. Hope the channel doesn't melt down.
Adrian Rogers. For our listeners who don't know this, Adrian Rogers hated Calvinism. He knows better now, but but there are still a lot of Reformed people who loved Adrian Rogers nonetheless.
Yeah, I respect him a lot. That's the thing. You can disagree with somebody without vilifying them. I mean, I just wish that people get this in their head. But Adrian Rogers said that a Baptist church is pastor-led, deacon-assisted, and congregationally affirmed. And I think that that is true. I think that as a student of Baptist history, especially in America, is that the pastor-deacon model with the congregation is the best model. I think that sometimes the elderships that I've been around, they seem to be too, it's more like elder rule than elder led. You know what I'm saying? Between that distinction.
Yes. And there are Reformed Baptists who do disagree with one another over that.
Yeah. And I hate to false advertise myself. I love Reformed theology. I really think the Reformed take on most things is the best perspective. I mean, it's just delicious to your brain to read a Reformed theology and Reformed sermons. Just on the local church, the plurality of elders, the congregation, I think. Congregationalism doesn't seem to go along with that. And it may be maybe my own overreaction against authoritarianism sometimes in the church.
Right. And Reformed Baptists have definitely been guilty of that, but not obviously all, or even the majority have not. But that's existed without question.
Yeah, you're right. Just like, It's not right to broad brush all independent fundamental premillennial Baptists as being crazy.
Right. I have some very dear friends to this day who are independent fundamentalist Baptists, and we have loved each other in spite of our serious differences. And by the way, we have to go to our final break, so pick up where you left off there. Don't go away, folks. We're going to be right back after these final words from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above.
For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And folks, I don't want you to forget that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit their website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And we want to thank Dan Buttafuoco of the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates for just agreeing, in fact, moments before this show began, to be a co-sponsor, once again, of our next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon. And if you are a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, featuring for the very first time as our keynote speaker, Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And not only is admission free and your lunch free, every man who attends will get a free, heavy sack of brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, absolutely free of charge. So if you would like to attend this free pastor's luncheon on Thursday, June the 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. And coming back to where you left off, I just wanted to throw my two cents in there for a plurality and parity of elders, which is what the vast majority of Reformed Baptists believe as a part of their ecclesiology. I believe that it's a God-breathed way, among other positive benefits, but to actually prevent a dictatorship in a church, which one-man rule has often created as well. It hasn't been just plural elders in Reformed Baptist churches that have been heavy-handed in authoritarianism. Often one man who is the leader of a church, it can go to his head, and when he doesn't have accountability, when he doesn't have the iron sharpening iron, for lack of a pun there, or should I say, if you could pardon the pun, I think that it's a very beneficial, not only God-breathed ecclesiology, but I think that is one of the benefits. I don't know if you want to respond to that.
I have a lot of responses to that. I don't want to hijack the last bit of the show to talk about that. I disagree with what you said in the main. I disagree. And I think I can just, and I think I've thought a lot about that position of having elders. I've argued for both before, because when you're trying to make up your mind, you kind of got to get on the other side and think through it. And I think there's some practical problems with the plurality of elders that I think are on display in front of us all the time, in regards to the, I'm going to call them the brand name preachers that have plurality of elders in their churches that are unavoidable. That are very obvious. They're inconsistent with what they're saying about eldership.
Oh yeah. Well, every time a Christian adopts any position on anything, even if it's a correct biblical position, because we're all sinners, we don't perfectly live out those truths that we embrace. So
I agree. I guess I'll say that, like, when you have been in churches where you have like the one man dictator show, it looks like plurality is the solution to all those problems, but it's just having plurality of elders is not the solution to all those problems.
Oh, of course.
Because you have to think through, what is an elder? How does a person get to be an elder? Uh-huh. My perspective on pastoral ministry is I'm called of God to be a pastor, and I'm going to be a pastor until I die or I get disqualified because of some stupid thing I might do, or churches get tired of hearing my mouth. You know, they may say, we don't want you anymore. So I'm God called. You know what I'm saying? When I use that kind of terminology, uh-huh. I'm called of God to do this. And I don't get this sense that if a church starts looking for elders in their congregation, that you're getting somebody to be an elder who's also shares the conviction that they're God called. In churches that have plurality, you always have one primary preaching pastor, usually, from what I can tell.
Well, in my congregation, we have two. Okay. We have more than two elders. We have more than two elders, but two are primarily preaching.
Yeah, and then you have the function of the office is to be the teacher for the church. So then you invariably got somebody who's a non-teaching elder. I think what gets people tripped up is they Presbyterianism has the ruling elder, teaching elder kind of model.
Right.
And that pragmatically, that seems to be a nice model. Pragmatically, I don't know that that's really scriptural. I don't know that it's really a Baptist viewpoint.
Most Reformed Baptists I know, their gifts will determine the emphasis of their role. And all elders, as the Bible commands, must be able to teach. But doesn't mean that they are necessarily doing that a lot formally in the church. But we have to go in 2 minutes. I'd like you to quickly, in about 90 seconds, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
I want you to know why I love sovereign grace, why I love the doctrines of grace. I love the doctrines of grace because my whole security for the fate of my soul does not rest upon my hands or anything connected to me. It's all Christ. Christ is my Savior. He's done all the work. And I love sovereign grace because all of God's elect will be saved. Amen. And none of them will be lost, not one of them. So no matter how bad a sinner a person is, no matter what they're entangled in, the grace of God is truly powerful enough to deliver them from the bondage and dominion of sin.
Amen.
And that's what I love about the grace of our God.
Amen. And I want to remind our listeners, if you want more information about Faith Baptist Church in Sheboygan, Michigan, you can go to faithbaptistupnorth.org, faithbaptistupnorth.org. And I want to thank you for being such a wonderful guest, Pastor Basham, and I look forward to your return to the show. I hope to have the opportunity at some point and God's sovereign providence to meet you face to face and share fellowship with you. And please let me know if you're ever traveling through the South Central Pennsylvania area, because I'd love to grab a bite to eat with you on me. And I'll let you know the same if I'm ever in the Sheboygan, Michigan area. And I want to remind our listeners once again, if you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon on Thursday, June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. a Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring guest speaker Dr. Joel Beakey. And everything is free of charge, including the very heavy sack of free brand new books that you will be receiving if you attend. Send me your registration, your free registration, to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Now, I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.